Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
The cross is about selfless love. Yes, they have denied me. Yes, they have earned hell. Yes, they are going to hell, but I don't like that. That hurts me. And I don't want that for them. And I am moved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that just whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the kind of love that he has.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
As a disciple of Jesus, you're called to properly represent him because you bear the name of a Christian. Being a small Christ means your character should be the same as his character. As Pastor Troy teaches through this text, he'll be showing the great compassion and love that Jesus has for the multitudes. God's unconditional sacrificial love is what you should purpose to live up to. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15 verse 31 with our continuing study entitled A Lesson in Following Christ.
You're my child. You're a son of the king. No son of the king doesn't live without everything he wants. He doesn't say that, does he? No. We struggle sometimes to get through and to walk through the consequences, but God is glorified because of your commitment. Does he love me? He loves you because it was easy. No, he doesn't look. He's still going. Oh, he doesn't realize my hands are underneath, that if he falls, stumbles, I'm there. But look what he's doing because he believes in me. The process of living out consequences, how you live them out, rather than complaining, yelling at God. But when you go and you do foolish things, and maybe you contract hepatitis C or some disease that will kill you, or you were a liar, you change your ways, you repent, and you begin living an honest life, but people don't trust you right away. You think, that's unfair. I've given my life to the Lord. They should trust me. No. How you deal with the consequences, some may take years. Some may never fully trust you, depending upon how you've violated their trust. But how you live with those consequences and you go, Lord, I understand what I have done and I accept the consequences. Moses accepted the consequences. You're not going to go in the land. But all I did was strike them. I led these people. They grumbled and they complained. Lord, you wanted to kill them. I prayed for them and you're not going to let me go in the land. God said, look, I held you to a higher standard. You were the leader. You're not going into the land. And Moses decided instead to prepare the people to go into the land. David couldn't build the temple. I want to build a house for God. His own prophet said, go for it, David, man, whatever's in your heart. Then God got on the prophet who's supposed to speak for God. You didn't speak for me. So I want you to go back and speak for me. You tell him he can't build the house, his son will. So the prophet goes back, you can't build the house, but your son will. And so David accepts that. But because it was still what was in his heart, he helped his son. He started storing things up and preparing for the day that it would be built. So he still got to be involved, but he didn't get to do everything he wanted to do. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. These are the kind of good works that the scriptures are talking about. Not good act. Go do some good activities, because our good activities are those filthy rags. Even the world participates in good activities. They feel compassion and go out and help people and do things and feed people. Those are good things. Those are expressions that we should be about. But the works that the world does not have are works that revolve around repentance. The getting out of the debt process because God said. Because God wants you to. Changing your lifestyle, your manners. Things that the world would say, they're okay. But you change them because of your desire to follow the Lord, and He's asking. Well, those are the things that shine your light bright. And then they do lead into those extra works that even the world is doing. But God enables and God empowers and God transforms lives because we do more than just hand out bread. We tell them about the bread of life. As a Christian, if we are about works, we got to do a little more than just lend our arm. We do need to share the gospel. When we serve, we need to give out the good news that there is a God, that He loves them, and that He wants to use their life and give them purpose. When we live this way, God is glorified. So come to Jesus for your healing. One of the important steps in following Jesus is come to Him for your healing. You need it. You need your heart healed. You need your mind changed and renewed. Verse 32, now Jesus called His disciples to Himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then His disciples said to Him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Now, short memory apparently, because they just experienced this with the 5,000. But Jesus is compassionate. And something else we need to remember to follow Jesus effectively is we need to come to Him for our healing, but we also need to trust Him for our provision. We need to trust Him. He's moved by compassion. He sees need and meets needs. When referring to His healing miracles, even here, even the feeding miracles, we read, Jesus had compassion on them. There was a heart of compassion that moved Him. It wasn't just, here's the ministry, got to do it. I'm supposed to heal. Boom, you're healed. What else? What am I supposed to do? Father, what's the will? No, He had compassion. That's what moves people who are great ministers, is they have compassion for the group they're ministering to. I have compassion. I want God's best. I want to see healing. In everything, we ought to ask God for a heart of compassion. The reason that He made the way of salvation for us was because He had compassion on us. See, the cross isn't about selfless love. Some of us, we have this strange idea of love that is selfish. It's I want them. I want them. I have to have them. And I'll be angry if anyone else has them. And we have this idea that maybe God's love is that way. And so He died on the cross. I have to have them. So I'm going to send my son. I love you so much. I have to have you. That's not the idea. The idea is He has compassion on us. He loves us. The cross is about selfless love. Yes, they have denied me. Yes, they have earned hell. Yes, they are going to hell, but I don't like that. That hurts me. And I don't want that for them. And I am moved, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that just whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the kind of love that He has. Compassionate, selfless love. It's the kind of love that He wants to pour out in our lives. From the cross, Jesus cried, those who mocked Him, some who may have nailed Him, and spit, gambled for His clothing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He didn't mean they don't know that they're hammering nails in my hand. He meant they don't realize there's more to life than this. They don't realize the bigger picture. They don't know what they're doing, God. Father, forgive them. And the same is true from our perspective in this world when we minister. The world, they're lost. They don't know what they're doing when they get mad at you, when they close out the Jesus you're trying to bring. They don't know. We need to have compassion. God has compassion for us. So when we go to the Lord for provision, He's compassionate. We should not go to Him and claim it or yell at Him for it. Instead, we should go to Him as a child who asks, knowing his Father is compassionate, knowing his Father is wise, and will give Him everything that he needs. need being the key word. Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Seeking God, depending upon Him, being okay. See, sometimes He'll say no. We got to be okay with that, because Father knows best. We got to believe that. He knows your situation. He knows what you need. He knows everything that you need. He doesn't have to change that person to make you better. Sometimes that person is not changed. They're going through their own struggles for you, for your sake, because there's stuff in your heart that without this struggle would never come up. God's at work in everyone, including you, including me. I know. It's easy for us to think, especially as we grow, He's working in them. He's changing them. He's trying to work in them. Oh, that person kind of bugs me in there, but God's working on them. I can see it. They just need to obey Him. And yet all this is going on, and He's also working in you to change things in you. So many are pointing out, and God is trying to put His finger in your heart. He knows your situation. He knows what you need. In fact, Matthew 6:8 says, "The Father knows the things that you need before you ever ask Him." So we don't ask to make Him aware. We ask to come to Him and depend on Him and to seek Him as the provider. He was aware that they had been with Him 3 days, that provision was limited, and He knows your situation. And the good news is He's able to provide for you. He is able. You need strength? He is able to give it. You need financial help? He is able to provide it. He is able to. So we need to go to Him. Ephesians 3:20 says He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You need friends? He is able to provide friends. First, He is able to be a friend. Friend of sinners. So we got to let Him be our friend. Scripture also says if you want friends, you got to be friendly. And some are wondering, where are all my friends? Why don't I need friends? And well, because you wouldn't even be your friend. You know, if you really backed up and looked at it. We've got to be friendly. We've got to be open to the fact that people are a little different than us. We can't try to conform the world into our image. No one wants to be a friend with somebody who's trying to conform them into you. But if you want to direct them to Christ, everyone needs a friend like that. If you want to be an encourager, I'll be your friend. Everyone needs a friend like that, an encourager. Because there are enough people beating you down. We don't need those friends. I know the wounds of a friend are good, but don't say, that's my ambition. I want to be the good friend who wounds. That's not what you want to do. Good friend wounds for sure. He comes, but he doesn't wound. He doesn't point out everything. Love covers sin, but a good friend, when it's seen, when it's obvious, and when no one else is saying anything, and it's clear the person can't see it, then a good friend will help them to see something. A good friend will. Isn't that hard to do? We're afraid we'll lose friends, but you're no better friend than when you're willing to do that, to help somebody see things that they can't see. Can you imagine if I was in the car and I'm driving and my wife's looking in the mirror, she sees the blind spot, and I'm about to get over, I don't see him, and she doesn't say anything, says, well, I don't want to offend him, and all of a sudden when we get into an accident or we come in a near miss, instead she goes, oh, whoa, there's a car over here, calmly. I don't need that. What are you doing? We need all that. But we do need help because we all have blind spots, and a good friend does that. We also need to listen to Jesus for direction. Verse 34, Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? They said 7 and a few little fish. So He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. Now that's got to be odd. How much do you have? We got 7 loaves. All right, sit down, everyone. Meal's covered. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He didn't hear us right. He didn't hear me right. I said 7. Only 7. Like, Jesus is thinking, well, that's a lot more than you gave me last time. And I fed a lot more. So, verse 36, He took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke them and gave them to His disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. So we need to come to Jesus for our healing if we're going to follow him effectively. We also need to trust him for that provision that we need. We also need to listen to him for direction. Listen to him. I don't know how many times, again, using children, it's an easy example, easy illustration, but they want to run so fast the race or learn their subject matter so fast that they don't listen. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Here's what you need to do. Okay, yeah, I got it. And they're already writing the problem and doing things. No, you didn't listen. Listen. I think Jesus is up there. Listen. Slow down. I'm going to run the race, Lord. I got it. Now here's what I want you. I got it. My goodness. Listen. We need to listen. See, this is not a plan they would have thought of. This was beyond them. The way they had seen it, this was beyond their little box. But it turns out that it's perfect. It's more than enough. That God's ways are truly better, higher than our ways. So often, we try to figure everything out. You know, it's what logic teaches us here on earth. A, B equals C. You know, okay, we got it. I got it. Got to have good reasoning skills. And that's true. We should reason. We learn from history. We can see trends, and we should take note of trends. However, God is outside of time and space and even trends and statistics. When he leads us, we need to listen and stop trying to figure everything out. All this figuring things out does is stress us out. And we do it in vain. There's a better way. The better way? Listen. Rest. Wait on the Lord. God wants to use you. Isaiah 40:31 says, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God wants to use you. So don't take yourself out by stressing yourself out, getting yourself into too much debt, busying your schedules with so many things, even religious activities. We can be so busy with church activities or even Christian activities. Oh, they need help here at this. Okay, they need that. And you're just everywhere because it's a church thing that happened to come your way or a Christian thing that happened to come your way. That you're not focused. Remember we talked about the focus? We're divided. We're scattered. Now they're religious things at least, but we're still scattered and there's no power in our life because we're not rested. We're on edge. We're frustrated with people. And there's no power because there's no focus. God wants to use you. The disciples learned this lesson because when they were giving out the food and the distribution to the widows and ministry was growing and the church was growing and the needs were growing, all of a sudden, when that happens, and I see it in the church as we're growing too, certain areas of ministry, they begin to grumble and complain. Things are out of order. Chaos starts to happen because they can't give their time to it. And so they're not giving their time to it, so it's falling apart. Because it's like me, if I were to leave my kids at home and say, "I want you to manage the home for a month." Dad's too busy to manage the home. Dad and mom are too busy to manage the home. So kids, oh, there you go. Have at it. I cannot imagine what I would see. Now, not to compare young believers or people serving in ministry as children, but when they don't have the big picture, sometimes the results are the same. And so if we're not able to focus on that which is given to us, then the disciples said, "Look, we've got to focus on our part, our mission, God's call upon our lives. And so since this is the role he's given us, we're going to focus on this. You guys select 7 from among yourselves. Here are the parameters. Here are the guidelines. Select them and let them oversee." If we can't give attention to things, then we need to raise up some who can. God wants to use you. He wants to use others as well. He wants to use those around you. He wants to actually use you, but not destroy you. And so we need to focus. He actually wants to lead you beside still water sometimes. I've heard some say, Well, I just want to be busy about the Lord's business. I just want to be busy doing all the things, everything God's got. I'd rather burn out than rust out, they say. But the question comes back, why do either? Because either way, you're out. You don't want to burn out or rust out. You want to be oiled. You want to be filled. You want to be rested. And you want to be in the game serving God. Healthy. Fit for service. To do what God wants us to do, we need more than physical resources, which is what we often emphasize, trying to get the physical things taken care of. But we need spiritual resources to do what God wants us to do. Therefore, we need to seek Him in prayer. We need prayer. Yet it's often the first to go, first to be neglected. Why do we need prayer? Well, Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. Seek Him. We also need to study. Study His Word, because we need to know Him, because there's some strange ideas out there about what God would and wouldn't do. And so that we don't fall into those things, we need to know Him and know His heart. We need to study. Romans 12 tells us that we need to renew our minds with the Word of God so that we can discern the will of God. In other words, in your natural mind, and if you have a worldly mind, we'll talk about this a little more next week, I believe. In your worldly mind, you're not in the right place or state of mind to even discern. And yet we have worldly people trying to counsel those who are seem to be so much closer to the Lord because of their walk, because of the works that we see, because of the life change, the power in their life. Mr. No Power is trying to counsel and say, I know the Bible and quote the Scriptures. But the Scripture says we can't even really discern the will of God unless we're renewing our mind with the Word of God. We also need to worship. We need worship and devotion to God. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you want to do and be blessed, the secret is to make sure that Christ is in what you do. Not that he's just being tagged along, but that he is in it and he is leading it and he's wanting to provide for it. As a worship leader, again, I learned this because I had very limited ability. In fact, none in the beginning. It really, really did stink. I'm just going to be real here. I mean, it was not good. And yet, I would have people come up and say, man, God was here. They don't care about how good you are. All they care about is how that God is here. And the only way to make sure that God is here in your ministry, in the life, in the things that you do, is to make sure you're following Him, that you're seeking Him. When we let go and we trust God and allow Him to use us, then we see amazing things. Jesus told His disciples, take the 7 loaves, the few fish, give them to the Lord. Give them to me. And that's all we need to do. That's all I did. When I stunk, I just said, help me, Lord. I'm going to give you this. The 3 chords, 2.5, I'm still working on the 3rd one, chords, and I'm going to offer it to you. And He broke it and He did things I can't explain. I couldn't explain then. God's desire is to save you, to mend you, and use you, to give your life meaning and purpose.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there, or search for us in the iTunes store. Use Calvary Chapel Solid Rock as you search. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.